Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. And as always, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, would you call yourself an expository preacher?
Depends on what you mean by that term, Dean. If you mean somebody who's getting at the nub of what a passage or a book or, say, an epistle is about, yeah, I'm very good at that. But usually when people talk about expository preaching, they're talking about a verse-by-verse approach through, say, the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. And that's not normally how I would preach. I'm not sure the people who do the verse-by-verse, when they're all done, have really unpacked what the book is about. They tend to unpack what the passage that they've chosen is about. So they have sometimes, if it takes you, 2 months to preach through Ephesians or whatever, they got 4, 8, 9 sermons. But when it's all done, have they really said what Ephesians is about? That's my question. If they're a good expository preacher, they should. If they're just a verse-by-verse preacher, it doesn't mean necessarily they've said what the book is about and what it's calling for by way of response.
Okay, so what's the plus of expository preaching as compared to, say, topical preaching?
People probably would call me more topical because when I go somewhere, I don't usually get a series of, 8, 9 sermons. I'm just usually coming in and doing one sermon or a morning and evening sermon. So sometimes it seems more topical. But the value of expositional preaching in my mind is it starts with the scriptures and it's very scripture-oriented. That doesn't mean necessarily that you've unpacked what the scripture is about, but it gives the illusion, at least, of intense Bible study. And I like expository preaching, and I think of myself as an expositor, but that's how I define it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like the use of your word illusion, because I do think that that's what happens a lot of time with people that claim they're expository preachers. They give the illusion, because of the depth to which they deal with a particular passage, that they have unpacked the deep truth that's there, when maybe all they've done is spend a lot of time talking about peripheral issues that relate to that, rather than getting at the real heart of the matter.
At the core, yeah. And that's a huge problem. If you are going to teach through the book of Galatians, Galatians is about our freedom in Christ, okay? And the response it's calling for is that we would live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, be in step with the Spirit, attuned to the Spirit, whatever. It's not a list of rules that you follow, but you live this dynamic life of the Holy Spirit. Well, the truth is that part of Galatians doesn't come up until you've gotten through about 3 or 4 chapters. Then it becomes very clear what he's writing about. But if you spend all the time in those first chapters where it doesn't even come up, just talking about what the text is saying, by the time you've covered all those, you still haven't gotten to the guts of what Galatians is about. So you're really not expository. You're preaching sermons with the history and the background and what he's saying about certain things, but you've lost really what the whole book is about. Because you've confined yourself to going by sentence down through the text, whereas what you need to do is say, as you study the whole thing, here's the core of what is being taught here. And let me show you how this first section relates and how it's going to build toward what the writer has in mind. Am I making sense again?
Yeah, absolutely. You're making a distinction between explaining the text and true expository preaching. Now let me ask you this question. Does what we teach at SermonCoach.com, which is really a system that you've developed of relying on 4 key elements as early as possible during the sermon preparation process, subject, response, how to, and how long, how do they fit into an expository teaching model?
Okay, I would say in order to teach Galatians, you have to say, what is the subject of Galatians? And the subject of Galatians is freedom from a code or written law, but it's also a responsible freedom, not just freedom to do whatever you want. But that's the subject of Galatians. I don't think any Bible expositor would disagree with that. Responsible freedom. Now, they may say it in different words, but that's basically what the subject is. What is the response? You learn responsible freedom when you live by the Holy Spirit, when you keep in tune with the Spirit, when you keep that, that's the response being called for. So that is the exposition of what is there. But again, it doesn't come until later in the book. But how you get there is to say, what is the subject of this package I'm going to teach, which is the book of Galatians? What is the response being called for in the book of Galatians? In fact, I'm not sure I'm right in this because I'd have to go back and check, but I think if you go through the whole first part of Galatians, you don't have any responses being called for because he hasn't gotten to that response yet. Mm. But it's a passionate response when he gets to it. This is why I'm writing. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is. When you are attuned to the Spirit, this is what happens and so on. But if you just say, okay, it's like a letter. Galatians is a letter. But if I read a letter and say, I'm going to read a letter from Dean Wilson to David Maines, and I'm going to take the first sermon time to explain what the first paragraph of the letter is. Mm-hmm. Well, it may be the context and everything else, but I still haven't gotten to why you wrote the letter, you know, unless mm-hmm. you just want to be friendly. But usually there will be a reason why you wrote the letter. Now, here's the reason he wrote the letter. It may not be the best approach to say, I'm just going to read down through the text here. I think what you're going to say is, as somebody who's expositing this, I want to tell you the reason and then what he's calling for by way of response to me, and then I'll fit that in the context of how I want to teach it, which may not be just verse by verse or sentence by sentence.
It's interesting that in modern business writing, when we teach people how to write letters and memos in a business setting today, we tell them that in the very first paragraph of any written communication, they absolutely must tell the recipient what they want them to do. Hmm. In other words, if I write a letter to you and I'm asking you to give me a letter of recommendation, instead of writing 10 paragraphs recounting our journey together or whatever, and then finally at paragraph 11, I ask you to write me a letter of recommendation, we tell people, start in that first paragraph and tell them what you want them to do. So I would say, David, I am writing to you seeking a letter of recommendation for you. Mm-hmm. And then usually what I do is I put a label that says background. And then from then on in the communication, I give the background as to why I'm asking you to do that.
Yeah.
Now, the epistles aren't written that way.
That's exactly right. They're not.
But expository preaching takes those epistles or whatever book of the Bible, and it takes that and it rearranges so that conceptually people get it.
Yeah,
it's all about.
I'm wanting to applaud. You're saying this so well, but that's not how the scripture is written. That's right. In fact, Dean, I've been doing all kinds of study in Revelation, and it's been probably 4 years now. Revelation is not written that way. It takes a long time in the book of Revelation before you begin to get what the whole of the subject is about and what the response that is being called for. So if you just do it, you know, first paragraph, second paragraph, you bog people down and they don't understand conceptually. And by the time you finally get to what is the purpose of why that book is written, you know, you've lost them already.
Yeah, there's only one person left in the congregation, and that's you.
Well, it's true. Now, that's a very interesting book, Revelation, but you can still lose everybody. In fact, usually with Revelation, there are so many details pastors get into that they miss the main theme of what is being talked about there. Mm. And I think that's true just about any book you're going to pick from the Bible. Some of the books of the Bible are narrative. And so if you're in math, you can say it's about the kingdom of God and such, but it's a narrative passage, and it's harder to specifically get the reason why it's written. It's written to let you know about Jesus and his ministry and what he said, but it's not nearly as clear as, say, Revelation or one of the epistles or one of the prophets. When the prophets preach, you know exactly what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, in these two examples you've given so far in the podcast, we've talked briefly about Galatians. You've just talked briefly about Revelation. One of the things that comes to my mind is that if we're going to implement, as a pastor, if we're going to implement this as I'm preparing, I must come up with the subject that the passage is calling for, the response the passage is calling for. I must provide information to my congregation as to how they can respond, how to go about it, and give them some idea of how long it's going to take. If I follow that pattern, it means during the early part of my sermon preparation process, when I decide to preach a series on, say, the book of Titus, I'm going to have to do some digging to start with in order to come up with what's the subject of that book. Mm-hmm. In fact, the truth is this subject response how to, how long paradigm or framework is actually something that a pastor or anyone can use to do a sermon, a paper, a pamphlet, even a presentation about the best way to cook garlic in a pan. Yeah. I mean, the
not,
point...
Not write a novel. It doesn't work for a novel, you know.
No, that's right. But anything where there is factual information...
And instruction and of some kind,
instruction,
yeah.
You're trying to get, as you say, to mm-hmm. the nub of it, this concept works. But certainly, they're going to have to do digging at the beginning. In the example you gave, if I'm going to do Galatians, I have to dig into Galatians and ask that question, what's it about?
Yeah, dig is maybe too strong a word because, like, one of the things I encourage pastors to do is if you read a given epistle, underline all the responses being called for. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be some that are not key to the book, but usually just underlining the responses, you get a very clear picture of what is being called for. So that doesn't take a whole lot of digging. But you have to read it through and you have to say, I know that book very well. It's like Revelation. Jesus, he's talking to the early church in the first century, but he's also saying, this is what the end times are going to be like. I'm telling you ahead of time because it's not going to be the normal time. So in love, I'm preparing you. It's a call for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saint. So it's not going to be easy. And that comes out again and again, patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of, I'm not doing this so you can put together a time chart or you can say, this is what's going to happen. In fact, it says nothing about when Jesus is going to come back, but he will come back, but it's going to be hard and there's going to be martyrdom and all the rest. So when the end time comes, you're going to be prepared and you won't think that I just left you naively and then all of a sudden wiped out, you know. I've told you ahead of time, patient endurance, faithfulness, that's the bottom line for Revelation. If you underline him, you say, that's what he's calling for. There's no question. It's a hard time coming. Now, with that as an understanding, then you begin to impose that understanding, which is there, in a very proper way on the whole of the book. And that's what we're saying together. We got it. And I think the person listening to us has it, and that is expositional in my mind, Dean, more than saying, okay, I'm going to explain the first three paragraphs. Next Sunday, we'll look at the next three paragraphs, mm-hmm. and we'll just go through paragraph by paragraph to the end, because you don't get the nub of what's going on just by going paragraph by paragraph.
Yeah.
In fact, you try to manufacture lessons from those that aren't necessarily there to be mm-hmm. manufactured. I've heard a lot of times sermons that in exposition do that, and I say, that's not what the book is about. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that to myself. I don't stand up and say it, you know, but I'm saying, no, you missed. That's not where it's going. Mm-hmm. You're trying to find things in there that aren't in there in terms of what the person is writing.
I think of expository preaching in terms of the word exposition. They used to have expositions where people would go and it's some huge space and all these people are set up in their booths. If you wandered through that exposition and you spent your time looking at how they had arranged the different things in the booths, but never found out what it was they were selling in that particular booth. What was the purpose of all of that? What mm-hmm. was the underlying nub, if you will? Then walking through that exposition wouldn't have very much useful information that might be pertinent to your life or life-changing or whatever. So what we're really saying here is expository preaching should get at the nub of what a passage or letter or book is about.
Yeah, I think you've summed that up well.
Good.
Think we solved it for everybody listening to us?
Well, we've given them yet another opportunity to think about some interesting things.
Good, I'm
that's
glad.
That's what this is all about.
Oh, yeah.
We do thank you for joining us for our time together, and we invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.